Hi there, welcome to Bias Chinese. This is purely, deeply, truly personal. I'm a Malayan Chinese mainlander, and I've spent the first 30 years of my life in China, which means I've been through the reform and opening up, the earthquake in 2008, the build-up of the Great Firewall, and lastly, the COVID-19. In this podcast, I just want to give a common individual Chinese perspective on the things happening because I'm sick of propaganda and I simply don't want to be represented by anyone else without my consent. Like millions of the commoners in China, here's what I think. It's been almost 2 years since I left China, but I have never been able to distance myself from the Chinese society due to the internet and the social media. Or, more profoundly speaking, since I am a Chinese, I only care about what's happening in China. It relates to my interests, my identity, my link to collective memory. Thus, my relationship with my fellow Chinese. It's our story. I don't want the privileged foreigners or domestic dictator control the narrative. Yeah, I can't help messing up with them. So let me share you my personal monthly China on what's happening and how do we common Chinese feel about it. To summarize July 2025 in China, I would use one word. Indignation. If you check the dictionary, indignation means anger or annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. The funny thing here is that you can see unfair treatment barely before on the head of Chinese average person. July started from kindergarten in Gansu. Over 200 children were poisoned by addictive used to colorize their steam bomb. Honestly, I was not surprised at all by this kind of news. Food security is never secure in China, which is sort of common sense. But this piece of news kept bugging on my social media because the local government was so used to cover it up than do their job. So the news like parents of the poisoned children got arrested and their social media account got shut down, kept alive, until a man dressed up as a woman doing free hooker and got laid with more than 1,600 Chinese guys in Nanking. The news of Uncle Red occupied the headline in the second week of July because of its hilarious absurdity. Videos and voice record of this suspected gay lied to street men of every kind in China, assuring them that he has a vagina went viral. He single-handedly proved to all Chinese women who still have princess dream how stupid and horny their husbands or husband-to-be are. It sounds vulgar. I'm sorry. But a lot of women just realized that men just need a hoe. So Uncle Red simply proved that an asshole also counts. This is a huge slap to Chinese patriarchal society. I can't help laughing the whole day and spread that news to my international friends who has Asia fever. While I'm writing, my Portuguese friend told me that this Uncle Red outfit has evolved into some funny foreplay between couples on TikTok. Sending gifts like watermelon or half bottle oil? You can only get a punchline if you share the collective memory of Chinese people. Then the third week, an unknown university in Qingdao expelled one female student because she had a relationship with a white foreigner, accusing her with ridiculous phrase like insulting the national dignity. A lot of Chinese suspected that it was done to hold up the rising trend of Uncle Red, which is a real insult to national dignity, because it turned out the whole accusation is made up. At the same time, in Hangzhou, people's tap water was polluted by shit. Yes, you heard it right. Obviously, some mechanic mistakenly connected the tube for shit into the tube for drinking water. So the citizens in Hangzhou, which also is a headquarter for Alibaba, by the way, saw their water turned into yellow and smelly. So they began to empty the supermarkets for bottled water overnight. The government's reaction? Compensating $2 for each family for their mistake, which incited more dissatisfaction in the city. The shitty water lasted 2 weeks in Hangzhou. The disgusting image spread by videos and photos online till the scandal of Shaolin Si came up near the end of the month. Shaolin Temple, famous for being one of the original birthplaces for Chinese martial arts, was long time being commercialized by some master, I don't care his name, who turned out to be a super corrupted businessman with a lot of mistress. Again, a huge insult to national dignity. Also, not surprised to a lot of common Chinese like me. We just joke that Henan province, where Shaolin Temple is located, needs money, so they just go for the fattest pig they know. The main point I want to drive home here is that the Chinese Orwellian system is beginning to show a crack. This month witnessed a sporadic backfire of the system from local government level. Each province, you can see the incapability of its government to be able to solve the real problem. Each of them, no matter in the north or in the south, the only thing functions right now in their institution is a national security department. And Chinese people become more and more aware of that. So how do people feel? Indignation. Here emerges a predictable consequence from this vicious circle. Let me explain. From what I know, a lot of local governments across China are short of funds. Public servants, institutional workers like teachers and nurses haven't received their salaries for months, even a year. The only department that would get enough fund is the police. Makes sense, right? Imagine what would a policeman do if they don't get paid. They have gone. The problem is that it is the only department that is well-funded, thus well-functioning. They become the only solution or capability that the government has, no matter what kind of problems come up. So it becomes the only way they would answer the people. In my opinion, after several rounds of things happened in July, people would be trained and learned to respond accordingly to the only way that they receive from the government. You see what I mean?